Genesis chapter 25 this morning. This is going to be a different kind of message this morning. I'm going to read a lot of scripture. So I ask you to get your Bible out, your own Bible, so you can follow along and be able to see for yourself. There will be a lot of scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, bless as we look at the Word of God again. May we learn from it things that we can apply to our own lives. Help us to be attentive. Help us to be obedient to you. We know we have a precious book in front of us. Help us as we apply the spiritual teachings for our everyday life. Bless us, bless our families, bless our homes, bless our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 25. What a story it is that we see starting in Genesis chapter 25 and going all the way to Genesis 35. Today, we're not going to read every verse there because of that. But it is a blessing to be able to know the story, especially of what is happening in Israel right before our eyes this morning. As you already know, there's far better preachers than me. Some of you have already listened to the TV and had your favorite preacher that you like to listen to. And you know that isn't me. But if you can learn and grow and have the right attitude, God will bless you, I'm sure, of doing that. God says that he is the God of Bethel. And he says to go back to Bethel. He says that to Jacob. Let's see how the whole story unfolds. Read in your Bible, Genesis chapter 25, beginning with verse 19. And Isaac's servants, 25. Verse 19. It says, and these are the generations of Isaac. Abraham's son, Isaac, or Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. Here she was barren, couldn't have children, and all of a sudden she got twins. The children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Boy, that's quite a statement, because it was always the firstborn, the elder child, that would be the boss, and the younger one would be the servant to him. But here, God reversed it. They weren't even born yet. He's talking about two that are in the womb, and he is already telling Rebekah that this is going to be special. It's going to be different. It says in verse 24, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and the hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old, and she bare him. And the boys grew. Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of the venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sighed pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. So Esau was renamed Edom, and you're going to find that is a nation later on. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. This is how it all began. Israel came from Jacob. He was the second born. But Jacob got the birthright because foolish Esau traded it for a bowl of soup. You talk about dumb. He sure did. Go to chapter 27 as we carry on. It says, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out into the field and take me some venison. Told him to go out and get a deer. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, and that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau's son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, bring me venison to make savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, according to which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make thee savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth, and thou shalt bring it to thy father, and he may eat, and he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse. My son, only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. Well, you got quite a thing going on here in the family. Rebekah sinned. She disobeyed what the wishes of her husband. And she knew she was doing wrong because she said, "The curse be on me, Rebecca." Boy, she started out good, didn't end up good, that's for sure. So in verse 14, it says, "And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son, Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and bread, which he had prepared, under the hand of his son. And he came unto his father and said, 'My father,' and said, 'Here am I. Who art thou?' And Jacob said to his father, 'I am Esau, thy firstborn.'" What did he just do? He lied. Can anything good come from lying? No. He just said he was Esau when he was actually Jacob. And he did that to his father. He said, "I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I will pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." What is that? That's two lies right in a row. You know, there's one thing about lying. It's habitual. You lie one time, then you continue lying. Jacob's got a problem. God has the answer to his problem. You aren't going to like it, and Jacob isn't going to like it either. So what did he say? In what verse are we? In verse 21? Yes. Pardon me?
Yes.
Okay. "And Isaac said unto Jacob, 'Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee.'" What's wrong with that?
You don't feel my feelings.
Learn the lesson, don't go by feelings. Go by the Word of God. There's all kinds of false cults and families that are following their feelings. "Oh, I don't feel like it." You're in sin. You go by the Word of God because you're a sinner. Every one of us are. God is not a sinner, so he knows better than you. So it doesn't matter about your feelings. He doesn't care whether your feelings, you're offended or something. Sin is sin. You don't hide it. You call it by what it is and you repent of it. And sure enough, that's what's going to happen in the future, as you see here. But we learn lessons as we go through the Word of God, which, of course, is the point. And he said in verse 23, he said, "And he discerned him not." He couldn't tell that it wasn't Esau, because his hands were hairy, his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son, Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, and my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, that is, his clothes, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field, which the Lord hath blessed. Here again, he's going by smell. He's going by his feelings, his senses, rather than by the Word of God. He's being tricked and betrayed by his wife, first of all, and his son, second of all. Is this a messed up marriage or what? Yeah, I guess so. Only bad things are gonna come because of all of that. Verse 28, he said, therefore God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let the people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed in every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it to his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless thee, bless me. And Isaac his father said, who art thou? And I said, I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceeding and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. It wasn't to be so. What God said about it, the twins in the womb came true. Isaac, the father, confirmed it. He said, you're going to Jacob. He didn't know it was Jacob. But he said, you're going to be the boss. And so that's how that Esau. You see, Esau did something behind Isaac's back. Because it was only Esau and Jacob that were alone. When Esau said, oh, I need that lentil soup. And he despised his birthright. So rightfully, Jacob would be blessed. But he knew his father wouldn't go for that, that's for sure. So here, they're all doing things behind people's backs by each other. You know what you need in a family is everybody telling the truth. Everybody being open and honest with each other. That's the way it should be. And react that way as well. Look at verse 41. It says, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. He said, the next time I see Jacob, he's dead. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thee to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days. Oh boy, that's going to change. Until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which was done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence, Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? She thought she was smart in telling Jacob, the younger son, to lie, to deceive her husband, Isaac. Then so he had to lie again because his mother put him in that position. And now he's listening to his mother when he should be listening to his father. But he couldn't because he lied to his father already. Well, lying's a bad thing. It'll get you in deeper than you can get out. That's for sure. Learn the lesson. Every one of us have lied at one time or another in our life. Why do we do that? Because we're sinners. Sinners sin. But you see, the new birth is supposed to change things. And so you'll need to allow the Lord to take that. He's the only one that can heal that. Any kind of sin within our life, he's the only one that can do it. It's got to start down in your heart. You got to be open to that, though. And that's what God wants to do. All right, let's get to chapter 28 and in verse 6. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padanaram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob. What's the matter? Chapter 28, and in verse 6. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padanaram to take him a wife from thence, and that he was blessed, him he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and was gone to Padanaram. You see, once he got away from his mother, then he realized he should obey his father and mother. God had that in order. We have to follow what God said. Were you really going to make a mess there? Look at verse 8. And Esau, seeing that daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took of the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Joseph, to be his wife. You getting that? Remember Abraham and Sarah? They had two sons. One was Ishmael and one was Isaac. The Jews came from Isaac. The Palestinians came from Ishmael. What did Esau just do? He intermarried with the wives of Ishmael. So here you got that strain, you got that fight, the hatred that Esau had for his brother Jacob. Way back, you talk about roots of what's going on in 2023 over in Israel today. It's coming right out of the Bible. You know, you read the Bible, it'll enlighten you to what's going on right there. You know, the Bible comes alive after all of these centuries. And he says over there, let me see, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. and lay down in that place. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth to the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, angels of God ascending and descending on it as well. That's showing that there's active communication between heaven and Jacob. The angels are the ones that was bringing the message. John 1:51 talks about that as well. Jacob's ladder. We sing a song even about that, do we not? And in verse 13, behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee I will I give it, and to thy seed. Whoa! Who owns all of that holy land? Jacob, which is going to change his name to Israel, owns all of that, not the Palestinians. That's what's going on over there. The hatred of Esau completely coming there from Ishmael, coming down to Muhammad, coming down to Islam, coming down to Gaza where they live, taking the land of Israel for themselves, sending rockets and kidnapping and everything else that they do. That all of that hatred, thousands of years, right back to what we're studying this morning. You got to get those things straightened out in your life. You don't know what's going to come in the future. That's going to change everything for people you don't even know today. So in verse 13, you might want to underline that, put a circle around it, whatever. It was God that gave it to them, and his seed, all of his children. Verse 14, and the seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and the east and to the north and to the south. In thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places, whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Yeah, a lot of times the Lord is in places you don't think he is, but he's there. And he was afraid. How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning. Yeah, before sunup. And took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and he set it for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow. Uh-oh. Vows are good. There's only one stipulation. You must keep it. You're a fool if you promise something, and especially promise something to God, and don't keep it. So here he took on something that he wasn't well aware of. He said there that he was going to vow it. In verse 22, he says, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. What's a tenth? What do we call it? A tithe. A tithe. Where'd tithing come from? You're learning a lot this morning if you're paying attention. No church made it up or anything. When he realized this was actually the house of God, he brought a tenth there to it. Let's see, chapter 29. Skipping a lot. Verse 16. Because here he finally gets to Laban's house, and it says in verse 16, and Laban had two daughters, and the name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. You say, Pastor, what was that all about? Which is 7 years you got to work before you can get married? Well, they had a dowry. Maybe you've heard of them. Where the father of the bridegroom, to be bridegroom, would give money or animals or whatever to the bride's father. It was a dowry. Jacob, he's on the run. He doesn't have anything to give him, so he had to work 7 years for that dowry so he could marry Rachel. Verse 19, Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Well, the 7 years... Guess what? Told you about vows. Laban didn't keep his word. After the 7 years were over, Jacob took Rachel and went into his tent with her at night. They couldn't see. He thought it was Rachel, but it was actually Leah. Laban had switched the daughters because Leah was the eldest. He lied to Jacob. Everybody seeing the irony in all of this? Jacob was the supplanter. He was the trickster. He was the one that was the liar to his father. And here he got lied to. You know, sooner or later, you're going to have to take your medicine. God has a way. Better repent now before it's too late. Because you know what that 7 years turned into? 20 years. He stayed with Laban for 20 years. Go to chapter 31. You see, Jacob, there at Bethel, when the Lord talked to him, that's when he got saved. That's when he met the Lord. And obviously, Jacob's heart was completely different now than he was before because he met the Lord. And so it should be. When you meet the Lord, everything needs to be new. Anybody in Christ? A new creature. That's why he made those pillars and everything and said, this is the house of God. That's where he met the Lord, brother. He called it Bethel. Bethel. That's a special place. Wherever you got saved, you remember that day? Boy, you should remember it because that's what God told him to remember. Later, we're going to get to it. Go to chapter 31. Chapter 31, verse 17. Jacob rose up. This is after 20 years now. Jacob rose up, set his sons and wives upon camels, and he carried away all of his cattle and his goods and that he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan Aram, to go to Isaac, his father, in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen images that were her father's. Uh-oh. Now Rachel, the one who was so beautiful and so nice and he loved the most, she was a robber. She was a thief. She'd stolen the images that were her father's. It says in verse 20 then, and Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. In other words, while Laban was busy shearing the sheep, he took off with everything that he had gotten over 20 years. Got out of there. Because Laban was really laying it on and abusing him in that way. Look at verse 45. Trying to hurry along for you. Now he met. Laban caught up to him. And he said in verse 44, now therefore, come thou, let us make a covenant. Laban said to Jacob, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. Drop down to verse 55. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned unto his place. Laban made a vow again. And this time he cut off all relations with Jacob. That's for the good, folks. Laban was the cheater. But see, Jacob was, even when he was at home. Came back like a boomerang on him. Now he realized he was a new man. Look at chapter 32. It says, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Bunch of angels were watching Jacob as he traveled. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Look at verse 7. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two bands, and said, if Esau come to one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. What's happening? Esau's coming back for revenge. Esau caught up to Jacob, and he's got all of this cattle and everything else. Great big thing. So he's going to try to buy off his brother now by giving him these gifts ahead of time. He was afraid of Esau. Remember the last word he said is, next time I see him, he's dead. Look, I drop down to verse 24. It says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Therefore the children, He passed over Penuel. The sun rose upon him and halted upon his thigh. In other words, he was limping because his thigh was out of joint for the rest of his life. Therefore, the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Now, we're going to finish up here in a second. Go to chapter 35. Chapter 35. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. What did God tell him to do when Jacob didn't know what to do? He said, go back to the place where you got saved. Go back to the house of God. Go back to Bethel. God told him. He changed his name. He wasn't going to be a supplanter anymore. He wasn't going to be a trickster that lied. God told him to get back to Bethel. And Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way that I went. And they gave unto Jacob all of the strange gods which were in their hand, and all of the earrings which they were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. And he and all of the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath the Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called that name. And God appeared to Jacob again, and he came out of Padan-Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob, thy name shall not be called Israel, Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, I will give it to and to thy seed. After thee will I give the land. There again, he told him, that land is yours. Verse 13, and God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering up thereupon, and poured the oil there. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. You know what every one of us need to do? Get back to Bethel. Spiritually, get back to Bethel. That's the answer to the backslider. Getting back to Bethel. You know, the Lord uses various things to get us back to Bethel. He can use sorrow in your family and in your life. Reversals, finances. God will use anything to get you back to Bethel, to get right with God. When Jacob came to Laban, he didn't have anything. He just had his staff. But boy, 20 years later, he came out in style. To get back to Bethel, you're going to have to leave Laban. Who's the Laban in your life? You better identify your Laban. You're going to have to leave him. It's the only way Jacob could be blessed of God. You just saw the story of a backslider, and boy, backsliders know how to get into trouble. Someday you have to meet your Esau, just like Jacob had to meet his brother, the one that said, "I'll kill you." He couldn't be bought. He had to face up to him. God took care of Esau. Let God get you back there and take care of the stumbling blocks and the difficulties of you getting there. After a lifetime of striving with men, Jacob realized he had to wrestle with God. He had to strive with God to give you something to remember that day that he wrestled with God. He had to limp the rest of his life. Backsliding, going away from God if you're truly saved. That's no fun. It's going to be hard to get back to Bethel. You're going to have to face some things. You may have to limp. God do something to you. Who was that guy he was wrestling with? I believe it was the pre-incarnate Jesus. I think it was a theophany. Jesus showing himself in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it's called a theophany. In the New Testament, it's called a Christophany. If you want to get back to Bethel, you're going to need to do what Jacob did, change your garments. Rid yourself of your gods, your idols. You're going to have to leave your Laban. You're going to have to cross your brook to be alone with God. The sweetest experience that you ever had, getting saved at Bethel. Then he met his family. And his friends, you're going to have to ask forgiveness. You're going to have to be willing to get the hatred out of your heart. You have to be spiritual. That's what's at Bethel. Spiritual and celestial things. Jesus said in Matthew 18:22, Peter came to him and said, "How often should I forgive my brother? 7 times? And Jesus said, "No, not 7 times, but 7 times 7 times. You think you're all done on the forgiving part? No. Don't carry something in your heart. You know what everybody needs to do? You need to get back to Bethel. Need to get back to Bethel. What's going on the other side of the world right now, today? War between Israel. That was Jacob. with the Palestinians. That was Esau. You saw it, read it all this morning if you paid attention. I pray God will do something to your life because of it. There was an old hymn called Back to Bethel. Back to Bethel, the true living word, sweetest old story that ever was heard. Back to the joy of life, my song, my soul longs to know. Bethel is calling, and I must go. Back to Bethel I must go. Back to the rivers of sweet waters flow. Back to the true life my soul longs to know. Bethel is calling, and I must go. Back to the beautiful path I once trod. Back to the church and the people of God. Out of the cold world of sin and its woe. Bethel is calling, and I must go. Back to Bethel I must go. Back where the rivers of sweet waters flow. Back to the true life my soul longs to know. Bethel is calling, and I must go. Hundreds and hundreds of years that song's been sung. Not too many Christians get back to Bethel. We see Christians coming apart. What do they need? They need to get back to Bethel. The whole story I gave you this morning, I pray that you'll read it over at home, either today or tomorrow. Let God speak to you. You know when it happened? When Jacob got alone with God. That's when he did business with God. That's when things will change in your life. I pray that you will. Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless. Lord, as we think and meditate on these things, and that we decide in our heart that we will not ignore the Scripture, all of the Scripture that we read this morning. It was for the best purpose in our life that we understand. Bless us as we go from this place, the house of God, remembering the house of God that Jacob went to. Bless us as we take this truth with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Sing an invitation hymn. If you need to come to the altar, then you need to do that. Not put that off. For sure, it's important that you do it. Number 218. It's a heart matter, but that heart matter comes out in your life. You can't hide it. You got to deal with it. You're in the house of God this morning. Would you be wise like Jacob and deal with it? God always keeps his promises. I'm afraid we don't. Let's just sing the first stanza. Won't you come? If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come in to your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. And then we'll close there.